Father, we're just really, really thankful, Lord God. Thankful, Father God, for this night. Thankful, Father, for this place. Thankful, Lord God, for time together, Lord, as friends and family in the body of Christ. And Lord Jesus, just as we would just spend some time together, Father, one more time, Lord God, for before who knows how long, Lord, in this place, Lord, in this country. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would be with us. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would guide us. Father, that every word that's spoken, Lord God, would be laced by your Spirit, Father, and your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Lord, we do continue, Father, just to bind the works of the devil and to break them, Lord God, because we have authority over them in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands and into your care, Father. We look to you for our health, for our strength, for our guidance, for understanding, Lord, for the path of life and truth. So, Lord, as we go forward, Lord God, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, amen. tonight, okay, so yes, it is true, I am going to Haiti on Monday. So because I'm going to be taking off for a while, and we finished up the last series as well, so I thought we'd do a little bit more of kind of last, like, usually we do the Q&A anyways in between, so I thought we'd start with that, and then there's a couple kind of thoughts that might leave you guys with for however long. No, we'll still have the the website will still, wherever it is in the world that I am, stuff is always going to be going up, so it's always there. So you can always listen in and just look for the new stuff on the front page. And it's always there, so so that's the case. First of all, any questions, concerns, thoughts, ideas, things that have been ringing in your head? Because, you know, I think spiritually one thing that's going on with God's people now, I mean, for those that really walk with him, he puts you through a training period, but it is just that, it's a training period. And then when you get done, you get on with it. You know, have you ever known people that are like, it seems like they're just forever in college? You know, like they're just like, they go on, they get 1 degree, 2 degrees, 5 degrees, 20 degrees, and they're still like continually getting these degrees, and the degrees in and of themselves are like that's become their work, that's become their identity. And like there was a guy I knew, you know, just back even in the university, and it's like, this guy had been around forever, you know, like when I met him as a student, like, you know, people were just like, I mean, he never went on with what it was that, you know, whatever it was that he was supposed to be trained for, he never went on with that. So then he just kept going back into becoming an academic. And it's like, that's not the way with God's people. God puts us, he does train us, you know, but so much of what we end up doing is also on the job. It's in route. He's teaching us as we're going, and we're learning as we walk with him. I mean, the first step is, you know, bowing your knee before him, that, you know, he is your Lord, he's your creator, and you're on track with him. That's the first thing. But then from that, it's like, okay, his sheep know his voice, we won't follow another. And so when we hear his voice and he leads, we go wherever he goes. We follow wherever he takes us and he leads us, and wherever that may be. And it comes to a point where no matter what it is that you might face, no matter what it is that you would, if you really love him, if you really love truth, if that is your heart's desire above all things, then it doesn't matter what he requests of you, you will let it go. It doesn't matter what he says to you, you will go that way. So here, let me show you one. It's John chapter 6. And if you have any questions too, go ahead and bring them up even in the middle. We can stop. John chapter 6. And let's start at verse 53. And it says here, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead, for he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. And many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew it himself, that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man come unto me, except they were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Peach, do you have a tissue? Okay. "No more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye go away? Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay. Now, the thing is like, here, a lot of people follow Jesus for all kinds of reasons. Some people went after him because, you know, that was the best show in town. Other people went after him because he did miracles. And it was like, wow, you know, there's this. I mean, keep in mind, this is before high-definition television and PS3 and all the other stuff that people did. I mean, this was like real-life raw. Here's some guy that's never walked in 40 years, and now this guy's walking. So people follow Jesus because he fed thousands upon thousands. I mean, there's all kinds of things happening around Jesus. But when it came down to a tough teaching, something that all of a sudden now they didn't understand, they didn't want to understand, they didn't want to know. When it came down to truth, when it came down to something that cut to the heart, in verse 66 it says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them." And the rub was in verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, the thing is like with him, was if somebody wanted, that was what they wanted. They wanted, now this is life eternal, John 17 says, verse 3, that they might know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you sent, Jesus Christ. So you've got the words of life. You basically, we know God through you. We know God through what you're saying. We know him through the words you speak. That word resonates in us. We know him through you. And for them, they wanted to know him. They wanted to walk with him. And because they wanted to know him and they wanted to walk with him, they were like, look, whatever the teaching is, whatever the saying is, we're good. You know, we want... Now, this was within their limitations of who they were in the natural, but when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that then gave them the power to walk out what it was that they had a will for. because it still needed an empowering as well. We can't do it in our own strength. You have to yield to His so that His can work through you. Without that, you won't be able to make it. You know, if you trust in your own strength, if you trust in your own flesh, the arm of flesh will fail you. So, just turn off. So, I think so. No, just that's fine. So, okay. So when Jesus, when He gave a tough teaching, that was something that all of a sudden I started to separate who's who. And for us, it's a process of will you continue to walk with Him when things get tough, when he sends you into something difficult? You know, we talked a little while back about Psalm 24, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, fear no evil, for thou art with me. But what are you doing in the valley of the shadow of death? If you're following the Good Shepherd, He's leading you into that. It's like, I mean, what kind of Good Shepherd is this leading me into the valley of the shadow of death? But that's where He's taking you. That's because that's what He's doing, and that's what He's doing with us. And if you love your life, you know, you can't love your life in this world and follow Him. It's you can't. Either will you love Him or you love the world. Either you will serve Him or you serve the beast. And so if you follow Him, he'll test that then. That's the other thing too, is like, He then, if you make a commitment in your heart, then He's going to test it. And He's going to check and He's going to see, do you really... And He does that too for your own sake, so that you can also see where your heart is. So like He did that with Abraham. You know, that's the first classic case of that. Is, you know, here it is. You know, here's the promised son. Here's Isaac. And He's like, okay, now you've been waiting for 13 years for this, and now I want you to kill him. You know, it's like, and, you know, but to that point where it's like, you know, fine. Because to that point where it's like, look, there is nothing else between me and Him. There's nothing else that competes with that affection. Everything else in life originates out of that. And without that, you can't walk with Him. Without that, that'll be the stopping point, whatever that thing is. Whatever that affection of your heart is, that'll be the place where you stop. It can, in the eyes of people, it can be a good thing. As far as like, oh, why would God doesn't have any problem with that. But He does have a problem with anything that comes before Him. All the way back to Exodus chapter 2, when He's giving the Ten Commandments, He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yeah, here, let's go there. Exodus chapter 2. Mm-hmm. That's right. Exodus chapter 2. Oh, I'm sorry, not two. My bad. Exodus chapter 20, that's right. I got the two part right. The two, and add a zero there. Okay. Alright, it says, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Excuse me. Okay, what does it mean to have no other gods before Him? But what is idolatry? What is an idol? You know, see, if yeah, if you, if, okay, what does it mean to have another God before Him? Well, if you have, let's go this far with it. If He says do this, and your other God, whatever it may be, says do that, and you do that, then you now have another God before Him. Does that make sense? So if he says, I want you to go right, and your well-meaning professor says, you know, go left. If you go left, you now have another God before him. Because he wants the place in your life and in your heart where whatever he says goes. Whatever he leads you into is what it is that you will go with. And too many people have other gods before him. That it's whatever it is, it can be, and it can be seemingly good things. You can have another God before him that's somebody that walks with Christ. You can have a person that you, not that person won't have done it, but you've done it, where you've allowed that person to stand between you and him, and that person is now your intermediary between you and the Father. He didn't do it, or she didn't do that to you, but you allowed that to happen in your own heart because you looked to that person more than you looked to the Father. Does that make sense? That happens all over the place. And the church system is famous for that, and people wanting to do that. People wanting to be, oh, this is the holy man. This is the guy whose prayers really get through. You know, it's like that. They work to cultivate that. They work to make people dependent on somebody. That's another God before him. And God will not have that. So what happens is that if you will walk with him, he will then take you and test the limits of that and to reveal your own heart. Now what happens is when he reveals your heart, you thank him for that. It's painful because you actually see what's really in you. You actually see where you're really at. And then when you see where you're really at, you're just like, you're just like, okay, thank you, Lord. Because he's not done working with you. Thank God that he actually showed you. If he didn't show you, then it's like, okay, a point of real concern, because like, okay, I didn't know, you know, he just let me be in my own delusion. But the fact that he shows you is a good thing. The fact that he reveals your heart to you is a really good thing, because he's allowing you now to make a choice for those things to be dealt with so that you can continue on with him. If you don't, then the problem is that now you stay in a place of delusion. You know, we talked about before about, because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them a powerful delusion that believing the lie, they may be damned. So it's like if people refuse to love the truth, if they won't have him reign over them, he gives them a delusion that they live with, that they live with for the rest, for their lives in this world. And then only to cross over from this life into the next, figuring out then and only then that they never walked with him, that they really were serving an idol. How many people are going to be shocked when they leave this life and this world and they find out that 30 years of church service and they didn't know him ever? And so when he's telling them, depart from me, you that work iniquity, and he says, and they're like, well, what? You know, I said church every Wednesday and Sunday. And what was that quote the other day? Like, it's like,
just because you go to church.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a Christian.
Yeah.
That's like going to a garage.
It's, yeah.
And, just like going to the garage does not make you, standing in a garage does not make you pass.
Yeah, yeah. The quote was, I remember, it was, going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Yeah, and it's like, I mean, the point being, it's like, you know, people focus on, you know, the externals. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus cuts straight to the heart, reveals where you are, who you are, what you're about, and then he offers you life. And you can choose life or you can choose death. That's it. But life comes on his terms. Life comes on his, it's his, you know, this is his thing. And so the resolution that we make as followers of Christ is like, okay, once you understand it, it's like, okay, the only way that you'll ever be able to walk with Him is to die. You have to die to this life, to this world, to every expectation that you ever had for what life would be in this place. Let it all go, and then you receive from Him and from His hand whatever it is that He has for you. That's it. And you go with that. That's the only thing that you can do. Because if you don't do that, the problem is that you now get stuck. You know, and there's a lot of people that are stuck that all pat each other on the back telling each other we're all okay. So they're all stuck across the board, and they're all like, well, you're okay, you're just stuck over here. I'm okay, I'm stuck over here. When God is moving. And then they get very resentful of like those that are actually walking with Him. I've seen that before too. I think right now is a real interesting time in the body of Christ, because it's a time of real shift, you know, it's a time of like really just a lot of stuff is coming up. And for those that have allowed Him to, He's taking them into that. For those that haven't allowed Him to, it's just like, they're gonna realize that they never knew Him in time to come. There isn't anything else. You know, there really isn't. There's nothing else besides walking with Him. Now, the thing about it is like, the thing you realize when you walk with Him for a while is that what He's calling us into, though, is that John 10, when He said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If a person crosses into that, what He's calling them into, what He's taking them into, is an abundant life. But it didn't come on our terms. You know, we can have an idea of, like, say you're going to go to vacation for some place somewhere. Well, you can have an idea of, well, this might be a good thing to do on a vacation. This might be a good place to go. This might be something. But can you imagine if somebody that knew you, knew everything that you liked, knew everything that you enjoyed, all those different intricacies of who you were, and also knew the place that you were going and everything that it had to offer and everything that was possibly there that you could do and experience, and that person set up your entire trip for you. Can you imagine the difference between that experience and you booking something through some travel agent somewhere? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a natural, simple example. But how much more so, here's your Creator, you know, the one that stitched you together in your mother's womb, the one that knows everything about you, knows every last hair on your head. And then Him knowing nothing in this world is hidden from Him. Every little deep dark secret that people have, everything that'll ever come, every nuclear bomb that'll ever explode, everything, all of it He knows, He understands. How much more so Him plotting the way and the path for you through this life? You see what I'm saying? It's like, how much more so Him being the one to say, okay, go left, go right, stop, do this, don't do that. Let's just hang out and talk for a while. You know, enjoy this time, enjoy this season. Okay, now there's a lot to do for a while. There's something I got to work for you right now. You see what I'm saying? All of those things, and all of that being part and parcel of the life that we were meant to live, the life that we were intended to live and experience and have here. But few there are that find it. It's really true. Few there are that find it. I mean, because people are afraid. They're afraid. They get afraid because they start out, you know, with, you know, oh, I love God, I love God. But then they see the wave. Then they see the things swirling around them. Then they see the trial that's at hand. Then they see you know, the 5,000 people show up to eat and they don't have anything to feed them. Then they see whatever the natural circumstances is and they lose sight of the God that they serve, who's able to do miraculous things, who's able to perform outside of and beyond the natural limitations of what we face. He is supernatural. And he's able to orchestrate nature in our favor. He's able to orchestrate and move people, kingdoms, kings, for whatever it is that he desires to accomplish his purpose. And if you're in step with him, it's all things work together for the good of those that love him, that are the called according to his purpose. So we have to allow for that. You know, I think too often we don't allow for God to be miraculous with us. He continues to be miraculous, but we don't allow for him to be miraculous with us, because we put our limitations on him and then expect him to work within those. And he just leaves us unto ourselves. He just says, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not part of that. You made your own thing. So because people put that on him, he just leaves them to themselves, and then after a while they get disgruntled because they're like, well, where's God? Why isn't, you know, why isn't there a healing service taking place when we play this special song? You see, it's just like they create all of their hoops, they expect God to jump through, and then when he's not there, because, you know, he's not jumping through anybody's hoop, he made the hoop, he made the whole thing, because he's not playing their game, and then they get mad at him, and then they have to justify it to other people, because now, because they've failed in the minds of others, and they vet each other within their own system, now they have to now justify one to another and say, okay, you know, no, really, just a misinterpretation, or God really did do this, or this, you know, it's just, it's all these mental shenanigans that people play, when in the end, all they needed to do was just bow their knee and then follow. Yeah. See, when you follow him, he takes you through. When you follow him, he'll take you through the necessary steps for what it is that he has for you and what it is that's at hand. He does that. He's really good at that. I mean, it was meant to be that every one of us, every one of his created beings, had a direct personal connection with him, and out of that for us to live every day of the lives that we had here on this world. Period. That was it. We didn't need anything more than that. He would provide for us, he would take care of us. I mean, you know, when you travel, when you see nature in and of itself, I mean, like Jesus said, you know, consider the birds. I mean, just look at them. You know, they don't toil and slave and strive and do all the things that people do. But in the end, your Heavenly Father feeds them. He takes care of them. And he said, how much more valuable are you than the birds? So like, yeah, he takes care of his people. He takes care of those that walk with him. He takes care of those that trust him. But how many people allow for that? You know, they'll read something like that, and then they'll be like, well, you know, yes, but no. And they stop there. So, for us though, it's something you have to anticipate, in that he's gonna test that. If you're gonna walk with him, he's gonna test that resolve. And he'll keep testing it. And then it comes to a point where it's like, I mean, when you see how the early apostles died, when you see how people that walked with him lived and basically lived to the very end, truly walked with him, it's pretty amazing. Because they had come to a place with him where he had molded them, shaped them, tested them in the fire over and over and over again. And they just come through that and to a beautiful place where it's just like, you know, wherever it is that he sends me, I go. Whatever it is that he asks of me, I do. And that was what we were intended for. And they live amazing lives. They lived amazing lives. You look at the things that these guys did. people don't live like that. People live through their YouTube clips and their Facebook friends. You know, I mean, it's like that's people's connections to reality anymore. It's not real. You know, God, His intention for us is that we would have a real experience, a real life. You are meant to have that. But it comes on His terms. And again, you know, that's why, like, you know, when people read the Word, it's like when He puts stuff in there, He's not trying to take away your fun. He was trying to show you, if you had the heart for it, this is the way to live because I'm giving you the best path. And He quickens the Word to you when it's something that you need to know, because when you have to make an adjustment, you do it. So my encouragement, you know, is continually is, I mean, just you can just pray the Lord's Prayer, and just even that in and of itself is just an alignment with Him. You know, I mean, when you're praying, Our Father who art in heaven, I mean, you're just right there, hallowed be thy name. You're just praising Him for who He is. Your kingdom come, Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You're inviting by your free will, because your free will is what's going to end up happening. You choose. And you're making that choice in your own life for His will to become yours. His will, His plan, His purpose to be manifest in and through you. Your kingdom come, Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You're inviting heaven to be in earth and your experience in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Basically, it's like, I mean, you need that for your spirit, you need that for your soul, you need that for your natural being. He feeds you out of the connection you have with Him in your spirit. You need the Word that comes from Him for your soul. And your natural being is taken care of as you seek first the kingdom of God. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So it's like also too, it's like we have to let it go. Because in letting it go, you now keep from having any block between you and the Father. And you release that person, you release yourself from any bondage, any hindrance that might have come up from whatever the experiences are that we go through life. And people go through painful things. They really do. But the thing is that when you pray and you ask God, He will enable you to do what it is that He commands you to do. So you bring something to Him and you're like, if something's difficult, you're like, Lord, okay, here it is. In Your Word, You told me to do this. I can't in myself do whatever because of my natural limitations, but I choose to, by my free will, yield to Your will. So help me to do what it is that You told me to do. He'll do that. He'll do a work in you by His Spirit where you can do what it is that He's instructed you to do. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. I mean, it's like in the end, you're just saying, Lord, you know, I want to stay on track with You. I don't want to yield to willful sin. I don't want to yield to anything that will take me off the track that You intended for me. Deliver us from evil, for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then it's just remembering too, it's like this is all about Him. And go Psalm 23 really quick. Psalm 23 says, oops, not Psalm 23, I'm sorry. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the water and upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the right and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up ye, lift and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. Selah. Okay, putting things back into perspective. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So it's like, it's his, all of it. So it's like when we praise him, we're like, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. You are keeping in mind that which is, the world system won't tell you. The world system says, this is mine, that's mine, it's all about you, go get as much as you can. No, it's all his. And we're joint heirs in Christ, so it's like we, yeah, no, there's, it's done. He owns the whole thing. He's allowing for certain things to go on right now, for a season and a window of time, for some purposes that are known to him. That's his call, that's his prerogative. We walk through it like that, but you keep in mind that they don't own anything. All they that dwell therein, so it, they that dwell therein. So everything that exists here, that dwells on the earth, is his. Every person, every Haitian, every American, every Sri Lankan, every Indian, Pakistani, European, whatever. It's like they're all his. All of them. And he allows some to exist for evil purposes. He allows some to exist for his kingdom purposes. They all serve a purpose. They all do something in this life and in this reality. But we have our role to play in this. And the blessings that we have is that we get to be on his side. We get to be part of what he's doing. And because we get to be part of what he's doing, you get to face overwhelming odds, difficult times, difficult circumstances, challenges throughout, heartbreaks over and over and again. You get to face the rawness of what life is, and then to see his glorious hand delivering you, taking you through, shaping you, learning just complete and total dependence on him above all. And in that process, you find out what life really is and what life is really meant to be. Versus where you could have been on the other side, which is, you know, and would have made a free will decision to go that way, which is, you know, limited time, couple rounds on the track, you know, where you can wave your banner and people give you a little clap, and that's it, you know, and there's nothing there for you, nothing there for anyone, and all they get is some trinkets and, you know, a bunch of quick empty pleasures that don't even last at all. They're just up and gone quick. Pretty miserable, you know. I mean, they have their moments, but it's pretty much done. There's no substance there at all. And they get promoted within their system to the degree that they hurt and harm others. Whereas God calls us into and allows us to be the ones that live the abundant life. So ours is to complete that journey. You know, ours is to walk that path. And it is a process. I mean, it's not easy. You know, for myself, I've thought about it, and it's like, you know, there's been times where it's gotten hard, you know, for sure. But looking back, I wouldn't trade it either, because I know what it is that I have in him. And I know the difference between that and what it is that, you know, he saved me from. So, you know, you just have to be grateful. And just be grateful that you're one of his. And then, if you're going to do it all the way. You know, whatever you're going to do, do it 100%. If you're going to be a worlder, go for it 100%. Be the best worlder that you can be, and make the, you know, just cause so you really just take it out to the full end and see how much destruction and everything that you can do to yourself and everybody around you, because you then get a full idea of the extent of what that is. Or if you're gonna follow Christ, really follow Him. You know, follow Him with all of your heart. Put everything that you are into it. Don't go halfway. Just go all out with Him and see what it is that He does. And pray like that. Say, Lord, I just want You. I want 100% whatever it is that You're offering and whatever it is that You're calling me into. That's what I want. No holds barred. And see what happens then. Why would you want anything else halfway? I don't understand. Why would you want anything less than that? You see what I'm saying? Because it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're gonna do it, whatever you're gonna do, do it with all of your heart. And if you can't, then what are you doing? You know, it's always a question, it's always a thought. Because too many people, they look for it's hard to understand when why would you stop? You know, I mean, like, I go back to, I see things like, you know, John 6 that we talked about. It's like, here's people that, they know this is the Son of God. And this is Him. This is the Son of God standing there in the flesh with you. And then, you know, but yet, they walked away when the teaching got tough. They walked away when it didn't meet their expectations. They walked away when He didn't become the king that they thought He should be. Because see, you know, people had this idea of the kind of king Jesus should be. They believed, even part of Judas's betrayal was along these lines. Because he was trying to almost force Jesus' hand in the crucifixion. But, because Judas was a zealot and wanted to see the overthrow of Rome and all that kind of stuff. But when they thought that the Messiah was going to be this guy that showed up, got rid of Roman occupation, set up, you know, a new Jerusalem, like, you know, and reestablish kind of the glory days of like David and Solomon. And He didn't do that. You know, what He did was He came and set up a spiritual kingdom. But they didn't get it while they were in the middle of the whole thing. So even then, when here's Jesus and He's showing that He has power over nature and has all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto Him, and He speaks, and it's just like, wow, all this is going on, but then it's like, but it didn't meet their expectations. What do you do in life when your expectations aren't met? What do you do? What do you do when that which you planned and intended on is not what it is that ends up happening with Him? See, what those that followed Him and followed Him to the end, like Job, Job's thing was, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. You know, Job's thing was, look, I'm not in this for the benefits. Because that was what Lucifer put forward to God when he was, when he was, you know, putting down the whole thing with, I mean, when God said to Lucifer, you know, He said, have you considered my servant Job? He dangled him out there like a carrot. And Lucifer's thing was like, look, if, you know, you didn't, you know, he's just serving you for the benefits. But when God knew his heart and when that was tested and shown and revealed for what it was, that he trusted him no matter what. He would, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is not about the benefits. It's not about, it's about knowing and walking with him. And if you realize that, and if you will commit to that path, He will surely take you through. He will surely lead and guide you. And in that process, He will give you a life that you would never know any other way. You know, I look sometimes and I have friends that, you know, I knew from even my school days. And I think about the life that God's allowed me to live and the things that He's allowed me to experience and to do and all of that. Because, you know, and I'm not comparing, you know, but I just know that it's like there's a longing in their hearts, so many of them, for something real. But you can't find it anywhere else but Jesus. So I'm not comparing and saying, oh, look at the experience that I was able to have or whatever. No, not like that. But I know that what he's allowed me to have and to experience has been something real. And I think people in their hearts cry out for that. They want that. But the thing is there's only one place you find that. You find that in him. You don't find it anywhere else. But the requirement is that you have to bow your knee. You have to bow your knee before the Creator and receive from him whatever it is that he's willing to give you. And for some, you know, for some people too, they have a hard time with the assignment. Some people have a hard time with the assignment. With Paul, and sometimes the assignment doesn't make sense. Here's Peter and Paul. Peter, rough around the edges, you would think that he would be the apostle to the Gentiles. You know, fisherman, rough, rowdy guy, but Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Paul, Mr. Eloquent, you know, fully trained in all the stuff that they had going on, Pharisee of Pharisees, tribe of Benjamin, all the pedigree that he had, and God says, no, you're my minister to the Gentiles. And when Paul wanted to minister to the Jews, wanted to go back to Jerusalem, when he went back to Jerusalem, that was the most unproductive time that he had. But he was, you know, because he got tossed in jail right away. And I mean, it's like he in his own heart, in his own mind, he had a care for those guys. But God had his assignment for him. And so, but you know, you think about it, if you and I were making a decision, we'd be like, well, okay, you know, Paul makes sense to go for the Jews, and Peter makes sense to go for the Gentiles, but that's not God's way. God's way is he takes the weak things of this world and uses them to confound the strong and to confound those that think that they're good enough, that think that they're qualified for this, that think that they should do this, that think that they deserve this. You know, sometimes I think we get ourselves in trouble because people start believing they have an entitlement to whatever. Like, oh, now I've been walking with God for 10 years, he owes me. You know, why don't I? You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, now, and it's like.
Oh, it's like working in the field, people who are working for money.
Yeah, exactly. There's the parable that Jesus told about, like, you know, it's like a man went out to hire people. You know, and some people he hired at the start of the day, some people he hired a few hours later, and then he hired some guys, like, you know, with an hour left in the day. Because when he asked them, he said, look, you know, why aren't you guys working? They said, because nobody hired us. Notice, though, in that too, they had a willingness to work. They would have been working the whole day had somebody given them the opportunity. But nobody gave them the opportunity. When it came, they're like, sure, I'll go. And at the end of the day, God says that, you know, when the guy went to settle accounts, he paid everybody the same, starting with the guys that worked the shortest amount of time and working his way backwards. And I think he might have even done that just to reveal their hearts and just to let them see and just to show them even in themselves that there was something in themselves that needed to be resolved and dealt with. Because the people that started from the beginning of the day, though they got exactly what it was that they agreed to, they disagreed in themselves. They got mad when they saw somebody else getting something similar to them that now shouldn't deserve that. Who do they think they are to get whatever? Who do they think they are to get the same as me? I worked 8 times as hard as they did. So it worked 8 times as long as it is. But God says, look, what does he say to them? He says, look, you got exactly what you agreed for. You were paid exactly what you agreed to work for. You were paid a day's wage. I want to be generous to this person. I want to be help this person out. That's my call. So for us, you know, it's like, you know, because here's another thing too. Interesting point. My sister and I were talking about this recently. And you know, the world kind of takes the teachings of Jesus, puts their own spin on it, and then calls it some other religion. But Like Jesus said, the kingdom is within. You know, he's all the way back, and he said, Luke chapter 17, verse 20, verse 21. And if your kingdom, if the kingdom for you is something external, if the kingdom for you is something based on others, you're going to get in trouble. So if you're gauging yourself off of somebody else, like how badly somebody's doing or how great somebody's doing, and if your gauge is based on that other person, now you've lost it. Because there'll always be somebody worse off than you, and there'll always be somebody that's better off than you in the world and in the natural situation. And if your mindset is to gauge yourself off of other people and how they perform and what they do, now you've lost it. And there's never satisfaction in that. Because you'll always have a reason to be sad. You'll always have a reason to be happy. You'll always have a reason for your emotional state to be swayed by whatever it is that's the external surroundings that you're faced with. Whereas when the kingdom is within, when you go deep within, the wise man digs deep, when you dig deep within with him, and you allow him to root and ground you in who he is, and who you are in him. So you need to know who you are in him, and you need to know who you are in him for yourself, so that whatever comes your way, you're not swayed. You know who you are in him. You know what he's called you to do. You know what it is that his plan and purpose is for you. When that is the case, now you can move forward. You can move forward because now you know who you are. If you're constantly waiting for other people to define you, they will. They will define you, but unto their purposes, unto their ends, to use you like a battery. I mean, like even after this last CFW, you know, like I mean, like, you know, people saying, "Oh, come to Dubai, come to India, come to," you know, I mean, just no response, because it's like, for me, because it's like, no, that's not you. If you know who you are, if you know what God's calling you to do, it's like you know very, very quickly when something aligns with that and when something doesn't, and you know very quickly what your next step is, because it resonates in your heart, and you go with that, you do that. Whereas if you don't, if you don't know who you are in him, now you are defined by the barrage of what's going on around you, and externally things will continue to change all the time. Your body will continue to change all the time. So people's happiness, for example, is based on their physical appearance. Give that 50 years, and your sadness will be based on your physical appearance. You see what I'm saying? Because the body is just, it's a limited time car to carry around your soul and your spirit while you're here in the world. It's not something to be sad about. It's something to understand, to work with, and then to move forward with. And know that you've got a window of time that you're here, and your eternal soul and spirit go on from here into the next. So to use that time and to use the body for that purpose, but to not get stuck on it. But when people worship the flesh, when they worship the material, when they worship the carnal, the very thing that made them happy when they're 18, 21, 22, 26, 27, is the very thing that makes them miserable when they're trying to, you know, like Madonna, keep the whole thing together. You can only put so much duct tape on that car. You know, it's like, so it's just, the kingdom is within. God,
hey, entrez, s'il vous plaît.
So, the kingdom is within. And God takes his people that will trust him. He takes them within. You know, something too that I've kind of noticed is the experiences that he allows us to go through. If you walk with him, what he'll do is he will orchestrate your experiences such that they kind of coerce you to go within. Does that make sense? So like you will go through, if you're walking with him, so now it's like, okay, now, Father, I want to walk with you. Now you're walking with him. Now he's going to allow you to go through sets of experiences externally that, if you really are walking with him, will coerce you into bowing your knee before him to say, God, what's going on? Lord, I need you. Father, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know which way to go. I don't. And then in that you begin to cultivate this thing within you of just like, here's this, you're just like, that's just you. You're always now with him. You live with him. You stay with him. You commune with him. Because you started to learn that it's like, it's not just this moment of like, you know, what is going on around me, but it's, this is the place where your answer is there. So he then, and then it comes to a point where it's like, you could be in the middle of a burning house. Like, and you're just standing there and you have peace. And he'll do that. You know, I mean, his people, when people have seen, many times it's really interesting when you see, like when people have seen saints, you know, that were martyred. And how they were martyred and how they died. And they were amazed, you know, at like what the way that they were able to embrace their own death because of the fact that they knew him. That's just it. That's the thing that made the difference. You know, even when in Acts chapter 4, you know, what they took note of was that these men had been with Jesus. Above all, that the only thing, the only difference, the only defining difference between them and all the other fishermen and all the other people that were running around and all the other motley crews that were around was these ones had been with Jesus, and it had left a lasting eternal impact and imprint on their soul and who they were. We are the same. People know that we've been with Jesus, and when we've been with Jesus, it's like the difference is the lives that we live, the people that we are, the reality that we embrace, the path that we walk, the priorities that we have while we're here, the nature of the relationships that we share, the things that are important to us, the things that are not important to us, how we see the world, how we see those around us, how we view the communications that come our way. All of this is impacted by who you are in Christ. You know, we've talked before. I mean, the world themselves, they only see value in a person to the extent that they can get something out of them for their purposes in the world. For us, it's like, you know, we just do whatever the Father has for us to do.
We take pleasure in, you know, doing that. You know, you gain a lot of gratification doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, a bit of a Q&A as well. So any questions, you can toss them out too. So we finished with the last series as well. But it is an amazing time. It is an amazing time. And, you know, kind of just a wrap up for whoever knows how long. Things will still be online. You know, new stuff will be going up. But in-person wrap up for a while. There is a track that God's called us all to, you know, and to commit to that and to cultivate that. You know, I think that's the other part too, you know, for this evening is we have a deliberate role and responsibility to cultivate our souls. You know, you have that. You have that option. You know, there's things that you and I can do to work with what God is doing with us. You know, there's things that you and I can do. A disciple is a disciplined person. You know, the disciple has been just that. They've been discipled. You know, they've been brought under the wings of the Spirit of God and allowed for Him to train and teach and prepare and work with them. That's who we are. So, we have to allow for that. You know, it's a time for us to also, you know, God's people, we're also called into a spiritual war. And so it's like there's a conditioning that takes place. You know, one thing we talked about a little earlier was the fact that that God has a training period. Yeah, he does. But then after that, it's like, get on with it, you know? And you learn, but you learn on the job. You learn while you're in the field. You learn while you do what he told you to do. It's a blessing. It's a really, really, really cool life that God calls his people to. And you have to let go of every expectation, everything that you hope for in this life, in this world. It has to be put at his feet. And you have to then receive from him what it is that he gives you from his hand. You can't dress it up. You can't fake it. You can't say one thing, and because he knows your heart, so you can't just be like, oh, I'm doing this for him. No, he knows you're not. You know, be real, be raw. And if he knows, if you know, you're not going to lie to him. You're not going to lie to God. Let it be, this is where you are, and let him deal with you where you're at. And then when he deals with you where you're at, from that point, then let him take you forward. And when he takes you forward, trust him in this, because he's taking you into the best possible route and life experience you could ever imagine. And it's not going to be your plan. This much I know. It will not be your plan for what you thought life would be. I know what my plan was for what I thought my life would be. And it's absolutely different than whatever I thought. But I wouldn't trade it, because my plan sucked when I look back on it. You know, my own plans were not good. My own plans would have had me... I would have never even been back in Sri Lanka. You know, I mean, like, I had my own ideas, my own plans, my own expectations for what I thought life would be. And it was fine to have those, but as soon as God calls, all that goes out the window. See, with all the guys that, when he called them, you know, Peter, James, and John were fishing. Matthew was at his tax collecting booth. I mean, they were all doing their thing. Philip was under the tree. But when God called, when he said, okay, come and follow me, they dropped it all, left it all, came and followed him. That's what we were called to do. And whatever that turns out to be, that's what it turns out to be. But where else will you go? Because he has the words of eternal life. And you want that. You want that. I want that. So, it's something that, it's offered. It'll cost you everything. But then when you find out what you gave up, you really ended up giving up nothing. You didn't lose anything of any lasting value. And you just gave up. You know, it was minimal. And what you gained was everything. So, it's a cool thing. Any questions, though, on some of the other stuff we've gone over? No? Yeah, so...
Actually, I'm curious.
Kind
of like the parables in the morning, that's why I mentioned it about the workers.
Mm-hmm.
That, what I read, kind of said, okay, people may have had a different kind of reward, but it kind of meant that, you know, the wages that they were given were, I think,
a denarius, which is like a day's wage.
Not that.
Yeah.
Value. It was actually more like giving Jesus to us the narrow path to walking through.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Nick kind of mentioned that maybe they did get their reward to the extent of their, I mean, spiritually they would have gotten a reward depending on how they have serviced that. Could it be just...
Yeah, you know, there's a depth in scripture. I mean, you can dig into the word, like, I mean, it's inexhaustible. So it's like, You know, like, okay, you know that parable about the pearl of great price, where it says, like, you know, these guys found a pearl, you know, in the field, and he went and sold everything to go back and to buy the field and to get the pearl as well. And you know, like, I mean, there's a certain way that people have always talked about that, like that being the gospel and that being Jesus and everything. But there was like some guys who were like part of Jackie Pollinger's work in Hong Kong, and that were drug addicts. And part of the revelation that they had too is that they were the pearl. They themselves were the pearl. And God gave up everything for them. And it's like, I mean, it's like, and both are true. Both have merit, both have... And so it's like, you know, part of this too is like the word is inexhaustible and God can speak to you out of it. You know, there's not a limit to what the word can be and mean, in the sense that he makes it rhema. You know, we talked about rhema that time as well. That being the spoken, you know, word of God. And what he does is whatever's going on with you in your life, where you are, he makes the word alive and true for what it is that you need right now. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we were talking about that. Is that here it is. What do you need for today? You know, there's some days where what you need is a swift kick in the rear. That's what you need. And he'll give you that. There's other days where, you know, you just need understanding, compassion. You just need to know that God's there. You can read the same passage and get both of those at two exactly different times, depending on what's going on with him and where he knows that you're at. That's one thing about us walking with him. That's why we don't fit into any 12-step program. Because there are 12 steps, by the time they're done, I need a step 55. And they didn't have step 55. You know, what we need is to hear what he's saying to us right now, this day, where I am. And he does that for us. Without it, you know, if you get on a program, everything that man creates dies. Everything that man creates apart from the Father is something made outside of him. So there's no life in it. Anything without life in it just dies. I had a friend of mine a long time ago told me, he said, Govind, he said, anything that you have to manipulate to create, you have to manipulate to sustain. He said, but anything that God does and God creates, he said, it God has a responsibility to protect it and keep it and make it go. And so it's like when, you know, you just see people like, you know, okay, you've got to manipulate that business deal. Well, now you're going to be manipulating it for the rest of your life or forever long to keep that thing going. You know, or relationship, or, you know, friendship, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like whatever it is that you manipulate to create, you have to manipulate to sustain. Whereas whatever it is that God gives and God does, he makes it work. I'd much rather be along with what he makes work, because otherwise I'm going to wear myself out. So we fall into that category of those that just flow with him. The world is constantly manipulating. Why do you think they spend so much on advertising?
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know, that too. All of that. I mean, it's a mind game. Because, you know, it's like you got to be continually manipulated to believe that Coca-Cola is life. Coca-Cola is, you know, the real thing. Coca-Cola is, if you don't get manipulated like that, and you actually stopped and thought about it, it's carbonated sugar water with these, you know, and why are you spending $2 for that? You know, and it'll, if you drink enough of it, because I did when I was a kid, it will turn your pee brown. But anyways. So,
too much information.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Especially when you're putting it on the
bed. Yeah, I know. I'll put that up there. No, I'll put that up there. Because, you know why? Because, I mean, the thing is, in the end, it's like, it's poison.
He's coming on the show.
Yeah.
Coming on the show.
Yeah, you don't know what I'll put up while I'm out of the country. You have to check. But yeah, drink, don't.
I believe he's about to come on the show, then he's leaving.
Don't drink five a day for like several months. That's not good.
So you keep God's word with health benefits.
He's got the best for us. He really does. You know.
Talking about what you just said, you said you don't need to manipulate. In fact, there were 15 people who pitched for this project at the SL, same cricket, Sri Lanka cricket, trying to get this project, and each one was given half an hour to present their presentation, and so our guys who went to present our project, in fact, were ahead of everyone else. Like, I had to do a song, this is for the song, and some, I can't remember actually what the project was anyway. Our guys were ahead of it, and they gave them 1.5 hours. They listened to them, and ours was the best presentation, and no one used any influence.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of people then, Aslan knew a lot of people, David knew a lot of people, but obviously we were credited for our own merit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, like, it's definitely not our work, it's actually purely God's. And I told him, I said, when he called and said, you know, this is something is happening, please pray. I said, of course, and if it's God's will, we'll get it. Don't go to push it on anything. And as soon as he came out of the presentation, he just called and said, guess what, it looks positive. So we have to wait and see. Because it's a big project.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's cool. And it's like, you know, I think too, it's just, I mean, he'll take care of us, you know, even like that. And it's like, even when we do work and stuff like that, it's like, you want to do work where, you know, where he wants you to be, where he wants you to, you just want to be in step with him. Because you can, you know, something I realized today, even I was thinking about this earlier, there's a lot of things that I can do that I'd be really good at that I don't like. Like, I mean, like, I can do them, and I can do them really well. And
but
my heart's not there. And, you know, and I can be really good at them. You can be really good at them. You can be fantastic there. But your heart's not there. What has God given you a passion for? What has God given you a heart for? Get on with it. And if you don't know what that is, take 3 weeks, lock yourself in your room, go off on the side of a mountain, go find a beach hut, or do whatever you got to, and get away with them and say, Lord, if you could do anything. You know, this is a question that, you know, a friend of mine who's a pastor in the States asked one time. He said, if you could do anything and you were guaranteed that you would not fail, what would you do? Like, what would you do? Like, spend some time, put that question down. Spend some time in prayer before God, and then, you know, so you know that you're centered and squared away and you're in a good spot. And ask that question, and then just write. And write as many pages as you want to.
What was the question?
If you could do anything, anything at all,
guaranteed,
and you were guaranteed that you would not fail, what would you do? Like, I mean, basically, it's like, you know, it's just a way to kind of get it out of you. Like, what do you have a passion for? What do you have a desire? Yeah. No, I mean, that's, I think we've... Yeah.
FBI, medicine, lab. No. Right now,
I know that there are a lot of children in orphanages that are going hungry every day.
Yeah.
I would like to find a, you know, sustainable system at least that provides their basic needs. That's where I would like to be.
That's really cool.
In fact, I was praying for you for the Johannesburg thing. What happened?
I just applied and then Haiti came up as well. So my boss was like, you know, apply and see.
So if Haiti, would you have to go to Haiti? Yeah?
We'll keep the Bible study going over there. And then finally Audrey has to come to Bible study. She'll be like, I can't.
How much is a chicken?
You're like, everybody's going.
It's only 250,000.
Oh. It's expensive.
But if you go to States and then you come to okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I saw the ticket. I'm like, wow, it's not cheap.
What about the cakes? What about States?
I'm going England, and then Madrid, Madrid, and then Madrid to Santo Domingo.
You're not going to Portugal?
No, and then I'm gonna go in from there. I think there's some issues with all the airports still, so it's probably better just to go into
the
Dominican Republic.
That's what the authorities also have been advised.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Santo Domingo.
Dominican Republic.
Dominican.
Yeah, but Santo Domingo is the.
I've
place.
Got the visa and stuff.
So, yeah, no, we're a global bunch too, all of us. Every follower of Christ is very, I mean, at this stage in time right now, we're getting very mobile, very, just like whatever. It's like, and God's moving us around.
I think, yeah, and God moves you and gives you things when you least expect it. I mean, like, in the last couple of weeks, things have moved so fast in Ramses and my life.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. And you were saying, you know, I'm so happy, you know. I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, so many things have happened in this beginning of this year.
Yeah.
From January onwards, it's just...
This is going to be an amazing year. Amazing year.
And I didn't want to move out, but I mean, we didn't think it was going to happen. Like, you know, and the house that we got.
Amazing place. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
So, you know, with all of these things, you realize it's like, look, it's like you just need to get on the flow of what he's doing. You know, this is again too part of what it is to die to ourselves. If you still hold on to something for yourself, you're like, okay, this is what I want, this is what I'm thinking. Now you stop yourself and you limit yourself. Yeah, you limit yourself from what he's trying to do with you. So it's like, you know, it's like trying to pull a kid away from the sandbox. And it's like, no, I don't want to miss my sandbox, but he's just trying to take you to the beach. It's right over there. It's like, you know, and the whole time you're like upset about the sandbox. It's like, it's just the beach is right over here. You know, and that's where God's working with people. He's like, look, I'm trying to take you into the best for you, but you gotta trust me.
You just gotta let it go. Also.
You know, and that's the thing. Even for me, I'm just like, you know what? The only thing that I need to know is I need to know that He's in it. If I know that He's in it, if I know that He's that's leading the way, that's it. That's enough. You know, you can send me to Timbuktu. You can put me on the moon. I don't care. As long as I know that He's in it. If He's in it, then I'm good.
Superman.
Bed, whatever. But
that's a good one. You know we're gonna miss you.
I know. You know I'm gonna miss all of you very much. And you know the thing is too is that you know, see God puts everybody in each other's hearts, and what'll happen is
we can still take off from where we left.
Yeah, you know when I meet people in Christ, like when I meet new people in Christ, 5 minutes of talking, just. Boom. And it's just like you've known them forever. And also with us too, when you don't see each other for a while, if you keep walking with Him, you will be, and they all keep walking with Him, when you meet up again, you will both be right in step, right where you were. You know, as far as like your walk and your, just knowing each other. Because, see what happens is when we stay in connection with Him, that connection is, that connection results in us hearing what the head is saying. And the head says the same message to the entire body. Now, each thing has its own separate functions, of course, but we also all hear the general message for the body. So, like, for example, yes, the head is talking to the liver to do certain things, and, you know, detoxing the body. It's having the kidneys do certain things. It's having the heart pump blood. It's all knows those specific things that it's supposed to do in their particular respective areas. But then also, if the head says to the body, okay, I want you to get up and move from here to there, all the body gets that message, because it all needs to get involved with that next process. So certain energy's got to be released, certain limbs got to get involved, the heart's got to pump a little bit harder, that, you know, it's like all those things have to happen for that next thing. So for us, when we continue to walk with Him, you will be doing that which God has for you to do with the assignment that He has for you right now. All of us have specific assignments God's given us right now. Some people, it's, look, dig in, get serious, you know, let Him discipline you, let Him quicken you, let Him train you. That's what they're in right now. And He's putting them through a really fast school for those that are getting a crash course and getting hired in the last hour. And they're getting a quick crash course of, okay, here's what you have to do for the job, now get to it. Others that have specific assignments. Some people are setting up houses and getting ready to be someplace for a while. Others, He's tearing up their house and like, time to go. Do it. Get on with it. Because He's working with us right now. And for every person that may go out of your life, God's also bringing new people into our lives. Because we're the body of Christ. It was so cool. It's so cool when you travel and you know Him, because you keep running into, this is your brother and your sister that you never got the chance to yet meet, but you know them. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's like, that in and of itself is the reason to take a trip. You know, it's like, it's just, it's like, but you recognize another one that's His. It's a cool thing. But He's got it in control. He's got us in control. And all we have to do is... Because see, here's the other thing too. We weren't here, and now we're here. We... You know, how many things have to stay in balance for us to even continue to exist? Oxygen, sunlight. Like, I mean, just like you go down these lists of how many things that we do not control at all. Your spleen, you know, like internally, externally, all this stuff. God handles all of it. He keeps all of it in balance, all of it in check, so that you can do what? He keeps all of it in balance. Excuse me. Sorry. It must be the voodoo people on the other side anticipating me coming over. Please do pray for me while I'm gone, by the way. Okay. Yeah, that was a surprise. Okay. He keeps all of it in balance so that we can walk with Him. So that we can know Him. So that we can focus our hearts, our minds, our thoughts on Him, that we can seek first the kingdom. The big things are taken care of by Him. And the little things that you allow to distract you, you know, just put them back in their place. So, God bless you guys all. And so we'll wrap up, I guess, here for a little while.